I'm Katie.
I'm Kylie.
And this is
You're Not Paranoid.
Good morning. Perfect.
Dun 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 dun. My Ray Dubs.
Katie.
It's my name.
It's your label.
I'm labeled Katie for everyone.
I'm labeled, well, not the, not paranoid.
What if the characters say not?
Maybe. Doubt it, but maybe.
Probably says like F America or something.
I know. Whenever, okay, so that is a fair point. Whenever you buy clothing or like there's all those horror stories of people getting tattoos and like this one's cute, but they don't actually translate it or ask someone who actually speaks the language to translate the characters. Is that what the word is? Characters?
I think so.
To translate. And then it's like, they think they're getting like peace and instead it's like penis or something, you know? That would be hilarious. It's horrible, but hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you don't research.
Do your research. That's a good life lesson in general.
Indeed.
Yeah. Research your tattoos. Research your doctors. Research your boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or girlfriends. Or friends, for that matter.
Yep. Anyone in your life.
Research it all.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of our life motto. Including our symptoms of life.
Yep.
Oi, how are you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah, same. Well, I'm rested, which is a really weird feeling because I'm not used to feeling rested. Yeah.
I don't know. But
it's like arrested. It's like arrested tired. A retired. Is that what retired is? It's just rested and tired at the same
time. I think so.
I'm retired today. Where I felt like I got too much sleep. I usually just do one melatonin, but I popped two. And was like, this girl needs sleep. And then I got it. And I think I slept 8.5 hours, which usually I get, honestly, between 4 to 5. And so my body's like, what do we do with all this all this rest? And so it's like trying to process. Like, I think that thing of too much sleep is a real thing, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I feel like I have too much right now. I'm trying to rise up.
Rise up when you're living on your knees. You rise up. That's Hamilton.
Oh. Then never mind. I take back my dance moves.
No, you can't.
Okay, I won't. I've just never seen it. Watch. I'm going to like see it one time and then I'm going to be like the biggest fan. What?
First of all, it's on Disney Plus.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Okay. I'll consider it.
Yeah. It's so
second of all.
Good. It's so good. Second of all is on, you should watch it.
I'll consider it. Same answer.
Come on.
I don't know. I don't like musicals and I don't like history. So it's kind of like the worst of both worlds.
I know. I wouldn't say that I'm a musical fan. But it's rap.
It's okay. It's like
and like pop
smart musical. Not that musicals aren't smart. I just don't. I like the like hello.
Like, I feel like they're kind of cheesy.
Yes,
because it's like
that's what I'm trying to say.
How are you today? How are you today?
And she's like, I'm sad. And it's like takes like 20 minutes just to say I'm kind of having a tough day. Like, no, just say that and let's move on.
Yeah, I don't know because I haven't seen too many musicals, but Hamilton is just straight up all rap. Like, there's no dialogue or anything. It's just the songs.
Wait, the whole thing is just songs. No, I'm definitely not watching it.
No.
You know what? Though I appreciate the heads up because I think I would just be like, when's the not song coming, and then mm-hmm. it would never happen, and then I would just be on the edge the whole time waiting for dialogue.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty okay, but to be fair also, now I'm like backtracking, that's pretty impressive to be able to do a whole thing of just songs.
Mm-hmm.
Although the only musical I've ever liked, which isn't just all songs, is Grease. So maybe Hamilton for you is like Grease for me.
Sure.
You've not.
I've seen the movie Grease. I haven't seen it like on whatever, Broadway.
Well, no, I haven't seen it on Broadway either, but the movie, the original with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Mm-hmm.
Danny and Sandy. Ugh, they raised me. They're basically like my second parents. Like, I want to be just like you. Maybe that's why I had dreams about smoking. Because she's like, tell me about it, mm-hmm. said. And then she's like a cool girl smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, that probably wasn't a great message for children.
No, it was also a little, like, non-consenting-ish.
I'm like, you have to change your image to get the guy you like to like you.
Yep.
Wow, is this where all my problems come from? Oh my gosh, that's like, it's like making me like laugh cry right now because it makes so much sense. Oh, your favorite childhood movie is actually also the root cause of all of your problems.
Well,
not all of them, but you know, a lot.
Most.
Oh, that's so funny and sad at the same time. Wow. Well, good morning. Oh. We're not used to doing morning podcasts.
No.
So.
This is only really my first coffee.
Easing. This is my second.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it's not too hot. Mm. You're drinking coffee out of a straw?
Yeah.
Ew.
I know. It's either stained teeth or wrinkles. So.
But you can whiten teeth. So I'm going to go with wrinkles for 500.
Wrong.
I mean, brown teeth for 500.
Ew.
I just said the opposite. Wow. We really do need our coffee. But what's in your coffee?
I'm doing Don Francisco's Hawaiian vanilla nut.
Get it right, or else we're never going to believe you again.
I don't know. It's all the names. It's something Hawaiian. I think it's hazelnut.
Creamer? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Or the coffee?
The pod is it.
Oh, that was all just the pod name. Hawaiian hazelnut. Dang. Do you add any creamer to your coffee?
I do.
Ooh, what's the creamer?
The creamer is oat caramel.
Oh.
Like caramel oat milk.
Wow, you fancy.
Not really. The bottle did it.
I mean, I'm drinking straight black Folgers, so.
Oh, I can't do that. If what, the best part of the best part of waking up is Folgers in my cup, I'm not sure I want to wake up. Mike Birbiglia.
Is that what he says?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's not inaccurate, but also it gets me going. It
gets the people going.
Here I am. It gets the people going. I actually am obsessed with that song. I also wonder every time, did Will Ferrell get hired to just say that line?
No, it's from Blaze of Glory.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Wow, that was a quick answer.
Thank you. And then Napoleon Dynamite guy is the other voice.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, the people.
Yes, the people going. I really like that album.
Me too.
It's a good one.
Kanye, right?
Yeah, it's Kanye and Jay-Z, Watch the Throne.
Yeah, I love that song. I feel like that song will always be cool forever.
Mm-hmm.
We should just play it right now because it's the people.
Fall so hard. Little jibbies want to find me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I switch out for jibby.
Yeah, all the inappropriate words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure. Jibby is, for those who don't know, Jibby is the pup, aka Olivia. What are we talking about?
We're talking about stress.
And how it affects everything.
Yep.
From here
to your tum-tum.
And as the graphics showed for males, it could affect
the downtown.
The downtown clown.
I was gonna say like downtown fun. That's all.
Yep. So yeah, stress. Stress is
sucks.
Yeah. There's a lot to talk about here. And it's so relatable. Like all the things with stress and the symptoms.
Yep.
And everyone has stress. And we felt like this would be a great opportunity to talk about it because I myself am experiencing or have been experiencing a lot of stress. And like this research would be also ideal for myself. Mm-hmm. So I would love to learn more and talk through it. Not like a therapy session, but
kind of.
It's relatable and it's kind of a therapy session. But also, disclaimer, we are not therapists or licensed therapists. Everything you may hear on this podcast is strictly the opinions of You're Not Parented podcast by Katie and Kylie. Mm-hmm. It shall not be used as any medical anything. And if you need actual or would like actual medical advice, go see a professional doctor or therapist.
Yes, I
our words and they cannot be used against us.
It's like the I used to watch the Yankees so much that I had their that little spiel memorized that they would do like towards the end of the game. Like, this broadcast is brought to you by the New York Yankees. Like, it may not be disseminated without the express written consent. You know, so I feel like that was what that was.
Mm-hmm. It's disclaimers. You gotta have it.
You have to.
Today's day and age, you just
this
gotta
is
have
America.
It.
Apparently this is that's America. An American thing too, is just suing everyone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Get that money, because you're not going to get it from your job.
Yeah. And also, word of advice, if a lawyer says, don't do that lawsuit, it's probably in your best interest because they want to make money. And so if they know they won't make money, you won't make money. Mm. I know people who've tried to do like lawsuits before. And several lawyers are like, no, don't. That's not a good case. Just listen to your lawyers. Yeah. If a lawyer says it's not worth it, then you know it's like really not worth it. And lawsuits take forever. Like, talk about stress, takes like years. It's not something you just like, I'm suing them.
Yep.
Gnarly.
Yeah, like, and then if you ever get the money from the person.
Yeah, and they like dig into everything about you.
Yep.
Try to question your credibility.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be a whole other episode.
No, for sure. Stressful. But let's the circle back. Mm-hmm.
Let's name all the things that are stressful. Ready?
Okay.
Lawsuits.
That is interesting, though. It's interesting to think about all the things, what people do find stressful.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody might agree on what is stressful.
That's right? True.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Stress. I wrote a definition down.
Okay. I didn't do too much research, by the way. I was going to just speak mostly from
experience.
From the place of stress.
No, that's totally fine. I did a handful of research, and like there's really cool websites that have everything broken down. Most of the websites that I found talk more about like identifying and not so much treatment. Let's just talk about it. Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's highlight and outline what we're going to talk about. No, let's just talk about it. Stress is, this is from verywellmind.com, which is also a super,
No, I did my stuff on my phone today. So I'm pulling up my,
cool.
My couple
things. I'm like, who's she texting?
Yeah, go on.
Very well mind. Yeah. You're like, hello. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mute. Hold on.
That would be kind of funny.
That would be so messed up, I feel like.
You're just like, one second.
Can you take this? Hello? And you, like, forgot to mute yourself. You're like, yeah, she's being a bitch again. What? Oh, shit, I'm not muted. Hold on. Wait, why are you laughing so hard? People only laugh when it's true.
No, I'm picturing like it, the video being on YouTube.
Yes.
But like the opposite where I'm muted. And yes. Like you can clearly tell I'm talking on the phone and then you're telling me about stress. I don't know. Sorry.
And I like have, and I'm like, no, I'm kidding. And then there's like, I'm like oblivious and I'm just mm-hmm. like, and you're like.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like your phone is here. You're talking and I can't tell your lips are moving.
I was like.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
That's actually a good idea for Zoom meetings.
Yeah. Just like can you tell that I'm talking without looking at my mouth right now? No. Like, unless you heard my audio, you'd have no idea that I'm even talking.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit on my lips. I mean, you can kind of see right there, but that's yeah. okay.
But, I mean, they'd probably be like, why are you using a microphone? But...
like, I'm actually live recording this. This is a podcast. I know you guys said you don't want to do a Zoom
confidential.
Meeting, yeah. Like, this Whatever. Is actually being live broadcasted. When you clicked agree to video in progress, you're actually agreeing to me releasing all this confidential information. Yeah.
I have a podcast called My Job Blank, like the company tells all. Find it on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That would be so ridiculous and funny at the same time. Anyways,
that was my tangent.
Like
I'm trying to avoid talking about this topic because
apparently so. Avoidance is very common. Like you're doing it right now. Stress is any type of change that causes physical, emotional, or psychological strain. Stress is your body's response to anything that requires attention or action.
Can you say the first part again?
Of course. Stress is any type of change that causes physical, emotional, or psychological strain.
Interesting.
So stress can't, right?
So I feel like stress is not the response, it's the trigger, because it's saying a change
that causes. So it is a response.
So wouldn't that be the stressor?
A stressor
is the change.
So stress in general is when a change is happening to you that affects you and the effect that it has on you.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is a response. You can't have, and that's why it's funny that you're so like that. You're like really pausing on the definition because I also did that. I was like, of course, there's many definitions, but I liked this one because it kind of breaks it down into several components. So it comes from change. And it comes from, and it causes strain all over. And it is a response to something, not just any change, but something that requires something of you. Which is like, all of life, right? To some extent, yeah, there's always, and that's the thing. Like stress in and of itself is not good or bad. It's a response, right? And so that's where it gets broken down even more. And then there's, so that's like the overarching, it's a change that requires your attention. How you react to it will then define whether that input of change is considered a good or a bad thing. How you react to it, you kind of decide, really, or your body decides, or whatever. I'm sure there's like deeper mental, you know, psychological parts of it that then decides whether or not that's a good or a bad thing. Also, like inherently, obviously, if someone's dying versus like you got a promotion and now more is required of you, those are obviously clearly one is good and one is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think I said that in the wrong order. Dying bad, promotion good. Just want to make that clear. But all, yeah, okay, but you get it. So it's like, it's not so obvious and it's not so clearly defined. And I think that's what makes it so easy for us in our everyday lives to say, I'm stressed. because it's really a vague, big statement.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like that stresses me out, like getting your promotion. It could be good, but it stresses me out because now I'm going to have to do X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
And so what this, all of this is kind of heading towards, and what a lot of the research is about, is not so much the stressor or stressor, what's causing it. It's your response to it. That's really what makes us, or will change our outlook on life, or will change how we respond to it.
Yeah, that's the part that we're in control of.
Correct. Or how much control we want to have of it, right? So if you don't take control of it, is when it manifests into other things and everybody wants to avoid it, but you can't. That's kind of like the spoiler alert. You can't avoid it.
Unfortunate. I've tried.
It happened. It like, it's always happening to you, right? Life is like constant input to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you output is what affects yourself and other people and kind of the world, you know, like mm-hmm. the butterfly effect. Everyone's putting output these, all these things. So it really benefits you. And by you, I mean the proverbial everybody, the global you,
mm-hmm.
to recognize what is causing those stressors. Recognize how you react to it. Recognize what you can do about it.
Yep.
That's kind of like what this discussion is about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The weird part being also that how, and I think we all know this, but it's nice to be reminded, your mental health and how you handle all those things can affect your physical health too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like this fluid back and forth, like, oh, like I mentally don't feel good, so now I'm physically sick. But now I'm physically sick, so I mentally don't feel good because now I'm bummed that I'm, you know. And that goes to the more extreme for those who have, like if you have a physical sickness, like diabetes or like a chronic, like another chronic illness, you know, that maybe we talked about Lyme disease before, you know, things that might inhibit you from being able to live your life absolutely, you know, under ideal physical conditions that are going to have challenges that will then have a mental effect also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one causes the other. It goes both ways, which I think is a true statement for all of life.
Yeah.
It's never like this causes this. Yeah. It's always like, it's a feedback loop, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of arrows pointing back at each other.
Yes. And they're always cycling one way or the other. It's never just, it would be so much easier if it was like, this causes this. Oh, therefore, it's not this. But really, it's like, ding, 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 back and forth. It's like ping pong. Or that other, what's the old?
Oh, boop, the.
Boop, that one. Yeah, we're like, pong? This is my head. Boop. Yeah. That was my head being the pong. I think it's called pong. Is that where ping pong came from?
No, ping pong's older, I think. So pong probably got it from, because there's no ping because you're not moving this part.
Where did ping pong even come from? What is that?
I feel like that's a, what do they call it? A onomatopoeia.
Ooh.
Because that's the sound that the ball makes.
Where like did ping
pong.
You're wrong. Ping pong. So ping pong is derived from ping ping. I don't know how to say the last name or word, but it's Q, I think. But long story short, it's Mandarin Chinese, which literally translates to ping pong ball.
Oh.
According to Roger Rebert.
I don't trust that person.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Also known as Whiff Waff.
Whiff Waff?
No, I'm
that
confused.
Sounds like someone saying "whiff waff love."
Now I don't believe anything.
Uh-oh.
You know what? Let's don't believe the internet.
Yeah, I feel like with the origin of sports, trying to figure that out is kind of difficult.
Now I'm finding like 500 different, literally 500. That's a
hyperbole.
Wow. I was like, I believe the first result because Google's always right. And then it was like, no. Everybody's like, actually, it's this person. Actually, it's English. Actually, it's table tennis. Actually, it's Mandarin Chinese. I'm like, now I don't know. Too much for right now.
It'll be a life's mystery.
Yes. Yes. Anyways, where were we? Oh, mental health, physical health, ping pong.
Ping pongs.
Yeah. I also feel like my posture just got really bad. Or maybe I was on my toes the whole time. Okay. Yes. And there's no defined single treatment.
Yay.
So, and that's because it's like you can't, it's not an X to Z thing, right? It's, or mm-hmm. A to B. It's how do you treat something that's always happening to you?
That, and it's also all like, of how the do you time. Treat a feeling?
Right.
Right? Because I feel like.
But it's not really a feeling. It's a response to. The physical response to something.
But it's an emotional.
It can, but component. It's a response. It's both physical, which then can also alter the psychological and the mental. So it's kind of all of it. That's the thing that I think people don't realize is that stress happens in your body before it happens in your brain.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of wish I haven't read it yet. It's actually on my list to read for this month because I've been struggling a lot with like stress and mm-hmm. Anxiety and depression. I feel like that's like the fun loop of trifecta. Is called Burnout mm-hmm. by the Negassi twins. It's two sisters mm-hmm. and I can look up the actual episodes, but I think they did a two-parter on Brené Brown's podcast, and I think they've been on Glennon Doyle's. I mean, they've kind of made the podcast rounds in general, mm-hmm. But that was kind of the first time that I'd heard that, and I it might make sense to people, but I had never really thought of it. Like how you're saying is that like if your feelings and your emotions are actually like physical things.
Yeah.
And they were saying like part of the burnout cycle or just any like emotional cycle, you have to like expel it out of the body. And so where you can get chronic stress and burnout is that like you go through that stress cycle and you never get rid of it. And it like physically manifests in your body. And I was like, oh, so then when they're saying like people are so hard on themselves for like feeling a certain way mm-hmm. and they're like, but it's actually like you shouldn't because it's both like a physical response and like the emotional. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I never really thought of emotions as physical things.
Well, yeah, because it's like that feedback loop that we're mm-hmm. talking about, right? Where you're physically, and like we could talk about that too, like you're physically going to have the fight or flight response for things that don't need to have the fight or flight response, mm-hmm. which is like, that's what stress basically is having that reaction that we have developed over many years, right? Mm-hmm. Evolved was the word I was going to say, but I know not everybody believes in that, but it doesn't really matter if you believe it or not because we have it, so that's what's happening. Like regardless of whatever word you want to use, we mm-hmm. have it, and we've had it for a long time, and pretty much all creatures with a brain have it, which is the fight or flight response, and that's for our own survival, right? Mm-hmm. Fight or flight, where if something is considered a stressor that is impacting us, and I'm not defining this, I'm just doing this on a whim, something that we consider is causing us danger or is harmful, we are either going to fight or fly.
Or freeze.
Yeah. poop yourself, whatever. So
that's me.
Same. And that's like it, like before a jiu-jitsu tournament, you know, I won't even go into it too much because the minute I start talking about it, I get like, my belly's like, you know, like, bye. But for seriously, if stuff is stressful to you, you're going to have fight response, which could be, you know, increased cortisol because you need to like put up a fight. And I'm probably not saying that right, but
no,
increasing cortisol helps you get like more alert, and it increases your circulation and your blood flow, and it wakes up your muscles, and everything gets really tight and tense, like you're ready to literally have a fight. But when the stressor is not a physical thing that's going to harm you, but you still have those physical feelings, you are going to feel like crap because mm-hmm. you have nothing to exert it on. It's like, you know, if your boss tells you, oh, like you really need to improve on these things, you're not going to like punch them, you know, mm-hmm. even though like your body is like, I need this.
Yeah.
Like you can't. And that's why you have a squeezy at your desk that you just like flex your muscles. That's why those feel good, because you're like exerting something onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if, like you were saying, if you're never exerting, and that's why I talk about exercise or going for a walk, if you don't literally physically mm-hmm. let your body exert out, which also increases endorphins,
mm-hmm.
happy things, happy hormones, right?
Yeah, it's the better. Yeah.
Then you're always going to be trapped with all the physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it seems so, like when we talk about these things, like it seems so obvious.
But it's
but
not.
when you're in it, when you're mm-hmm. in the loop, that's the ironic thing, right? When you're in the loop, you can't think logically anyways either. So then you mm-hmm. feel trapped. And then you're like, am I the only one that feels like this? And then you start researching and it's like, no.
No. Yeah, there's a good series on Netflix. I think it's called The Mind. And it's like their own little mini series. So the episodes are really short. And I was watching one on anxiety. And I think anxiety and stress can be like very similar.
I have a website for that.
Say what?
I said I have a website I found about that.
Okay, cool. And they were talking about that and the flight or fight response. And it was really interesting. It was going through like the signal pathways and like blah, 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 but they do it in like fun little cartoons. So
yeah,
it's interesting and you want to watch it. And they were saying, which kind of sucks too, like our evolution, that we haven't like gotten rid of the animal instincts, because mm-hmm. they equated it to like back in the day when we had to run away from like a lion,
mm-hmm.
like our body was equipped to like dilate the cells, and so you, like you're saying, like your blood circulates faster so you can run faster, and like certain like pathways get shut off, so mm-hmm. like your sole focus is survival and outrunning the lion. Mm-hmm. But in today's society, like that pathway and that response hasn't changed, so mm-hmm. and since we don't have to run away from lions anymore, our body substitutes that for, like you were saying, like, oh, my boss like yelled at me and I have to do like these 5 projects by the end of the week. Mm-hmm. Our body's like, let's run away from that lion. And so it gives you the same exact response, but to things that aren't actually yeah. life threatening.
Exactly. Or it feels life threatening.
Yes. Cause it's literally the like same it. Like response
pathway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have no, and that's what, the treatment that we will be discussing is talking about, is that you can't really control your body, but you can be aware of what's happening
mm-hmm.
and try to take steps to help alleviate it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think first step is like recognizing A, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
B, you can't stop it,
unfortunately,
but you can mitigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing steps A and B, then you can't really do C, D, E, F, G, which are like being aware or being having foresight for those triggers. Mm-hmm. Like once you're aware of what the triggers are, like what you can do to when it, you're seeing them coming, pausing, taking a moment, you know, deciding what stressors are worth stressing over too, because you can't avoid them all. And some things are important to stress over. Basically, it's just like, you need to address this, right? Going back mm-hmm. to the first definition, something that requires an action or attention. So sometimes it is a good thing, you know, mm-hmm. like if you're driving and there's a car swerving in front of you, like it's good that in that moment you're like, you know, focused, alert. If you're just like,
whatever,
oh, car accident, like mm-hmm. there are reasons for these things, right? But it's finding out when and why we should, not mm-hmm. should, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So the one of the treatments, so to speak, is focusing on changing the situation that is causing the stress. this also came from, I think, Very Well Mind. So this is what they explain. Focus on the ongoing situation that causes the stress, right? That's the trigger. How do you cope with that change? What can you, you know, what can you do about it? Mm-hmm. And then implementing relaxation techniques. So something that you can do to offset the physical manifestation that you don't really have control of all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh no, sorry. These are all the, there's like four different things. Or people treat the physical symptoms that are happening to them as a result of the stress. So if you have high blood pressure, you get blood pressure medication, but also you are never getting rid of the thing that's causing the original stress. So it's kind of like I think they are kind of connected, really.
Yeah.
That you can't look at it as just one isolated thing. It's like therapy, mm-hmm. self-reflection, physical workouts. Also, you know, treating the immediate things that are actually causing physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have high blood pressure, you know, you need to get that down. But then also work on what's causing the high blood pressure.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of a lot of things at once.
Yeah.
But they're all connected, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, it just sucks when your main stressor is work because you can't really get rid of that. And I think that's what they were talking about in the podcast episodes, and I'm sure in their book. And that's where burnout can happen.
Yes. When it's the constant loop that's not addressed. Mm-hmm. And then like it physically,
And that's what sucks
over time.
Like even if you can like complete the cycle for that mm-hmm. day and like you know, you work out or like you have your relaxation things for the end of like a stressful day. Yeah. But then it's like you literally go back to work the next day into your stressful environment.
True. And that means that something, that's that thing, right? We're like,
then I'm quitting.
Has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it doesn't mean it has to happen like that very second, but it's probably, it's your body's way of saying like, hey, this is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So something has to be done, which is kind of a good thing, right? Because if we were like in bad situations all the time, and their body wasn't give you
they're like do, do, warning. Do, do, do,
do, they're like, do, do. I'm gonna like, yeah, you know, like
it's a great day.
Yeah, it's a great day, but my body's saying otherwise. I think that's denial, right?
Yeah.
Like when you feel like crap, but you're like, everything's fine, there's probably something else happening.
Yeah, that meme.
Like everything's fine.
Yeah, with the dog and the house is on fire. And he's sitting in the middle of the flames and it's like, it's fine.
Everything's fine. I think that, it's like a cartoon.
Yeah.
A cartoon. It's true. You can't.
That's me a lot of the time.
Yeah. But it's not good. Like, you don't have to, I think is mm-hmm. where we're kind of like going with that, is you don't have to do that. And the other thing too, if you, like you were saying, I feel like what's interesting about stress and burnout and all that is that sometimes it feels like it's our own fault.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then you like just add weird, more.
Yeah. Like shame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To Brene Brown shame TED talk. But it's weird because it's like, it's not your fault. Again, we're not like counselors, but or therapists or doctors. Mm-hmm. That from personal experience.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, but I feel like it's helpful to recognize that you do have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice might not always be easy and it might not always be readily available. But first step of being aware means that you actually are able to work with that. There was this really good website called brainline.org.
I think very, I've seen them before.
Very thorough. And there's like it's more about what they're saying is that you can't avoid stress or you can't really stop stress.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do stress management, which I kind of hate.
Yeah.
Secretly. I'm like, no, just get rid of all of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the first harsh reality check for us all is that there will always be some stress.
Yeah. For those who grew up watching The Lion King, Hakuna Matata, it doesn't really work. There will be worries. And if you're only
having no, yeah, it can't be all worries, but it also can't be no worries. It means some worries.
Yeah. Let's find out what some worries means in Swahili and we'll start saying that.
Like, some worries are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what brainline.org talks about is how do you manage that?
Right? How do we
How do you it? Manage some worries?
Some
They call it the four A's. Avoid, alter, adapt, and accept.
Hmm.
I don't like the accept one. I'm like, no.
You accept it.
They go into all these different details, or like they break down like different options under those four things. So it's like avoiding unnecessary stress, like learning how to say no, you know, avoiding certain people, take control of the environment. Like if you're watching the news, turn off the TV. Maybe like limit your to-do list.
Ooh. Yeah,
you know, those kinds of things. And we'll put this on our website too. Maybe we can put this link in the episode notes also.
Mm-hmm.
Altering the situation. Expressing your feelings. So if something's really bothering you.
All these things are like
their own podcasts. Yeah. These can all be their own episodes.
Seriously. And these are also the things that are the hardest for me. And it's like, oh, no wonder I'm stressed out all the time.
Yeah, being able to compromise, creating a balanced schedule.
Hmm.
You do all work, no play. You're going to feel burned out, which is like also its own thing. I tend to do that where I'm like, even when I'm like play, like my version of relaxation is reading about like self, like how to be more productive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no wonder I feel like this because I'm always like putting myself into work. Even when I'm relaxing, I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And actually got brought up to me by family recently that even my hobbies sometimes are a little bit stressful. Like jujitsu, like it's not like the most relaxing thing. Like I do get the exertion, but it's not like a fully like not mindless, but you know what I'm saying? Like a thing that you can just like not think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a lot of sports in general, but
yeah.
And like even the acting classes, like it requires like a lot of brain power.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why am I always doing this to myself?
Yeah.
Adapting to the stressor. I also don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
So like they say to kind of reframe your perspective is what they're saying. So for example, if you're in traffic, take the opportunity to listen to your favorite music or to like your favorite podcast. And that was like a lot of the other one that I found from verywellmind.com, or is it .org? Yeah, .com. Mm-hmm. Talk about like mindfulness, you know, adjusting like what you're, how you're thinking about that thing in the moment. Mm-hmm. If you're doing laundry and you're like, I don't want to do laundry. It's like, ooh, like feel how warm the clothes are when they come out. Like I try to, laundry is a very interesting one for me because every time I do it, I'm grateful that A, I'm not putting in quarters anymore because I did that my whole life. Mm-hmm. And B, and for those who do put in quarters, the other thing I'll think about when I would put in quarters is I'm very grateful that I have a machine to do my laundry for me. I'm not hand washing every piece of clothing, like thank heavens, you know, I'm very grateful for that. And then it could go either, like it could keep going. That's it's a dangerous loop to put yourself into of like, I'm better off than X, Y, and Z, so I shouldn't feel bad, but blah, 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 blah. But it is, just put it in perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Adjusting your standards, being okay with being mediocre, which is like something I didn't grow up with. Being grateful, practicing gratitude, putting things in perspective. It's hard. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, when people pray before meals, it's a moment of gratitude, which is probably why a lot of people who are religious live, I think they say like live longer, have healthier lifestyles, because they're actually, you know, not just taking into consideration that like, you know, about the religious aspect, it's actually taking a moment to be grateful for your meal and thank you for this and thank you for that. And we're so lucky to have X, Y, and Z. That's kind of what really is happening. So even those who aren't, you know, religious, so to speak, you can still be grateful for the day or grateful that you're healthy or grateful that you have X, Y, and Z. That's kind of like what prayer, you know, is and whatnot when you really take, like, look at it from the bigger picture. And then acceptance. There are things that you can't control. And one of the things that they talk about is like death of a loved one or being seriously ill or a national recession or like housing prices being out of control. You know, there are things that we cannot control and we have to accept it, which is sucky. Super duper sucky. And so for the things you can't control, how you react to those things, you kind of can control.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like my reactions are out of my control. But recognizing that we have control is probably the good first step.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. Looking at the upside. Ugh, I hate this one. how can you learn from this? How can you use this for personal growth? It's like the things that, and like learning to forgive, also very hard. These are very, acceptance is very, very difficult. And then you're gonna like this one, sharing your feelings, talking about something, even if like, and talking to someone and that you trust who you know, and they should know too, the person you're talking to is not there to fix your problem.
Yeah. You should always, I feel like, ask someone if they're okay with you talking about stressful things, because that's kind of an important boundary to have with friends.
Yeah.
So you're not just like
dumping,
what they call it, like trauma dumping, or like just dumping all your problems onto someone, because that can, you don't know what that other person is going through either.
Yeah.
Or, and then
to you, do I?
No, just realized, no, I was sorry. Like, I wasn't meaning it like that. I feel like we go through a lot of like similar things, so I don't ever worry about that. But I heard that recently, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably like a good idea to do.
And also letting the person know, like, you're not looking for them to solve your problems, which I think is a very common thing in relationships. People think that when one person is talking to their significant other, that they think that they're looking for them to solve it.
Yeah.
And really, it's more sometimes just having someone there to listen while you like talk about it out loud, which is why this podcast is such a fabulous form of zone therapy. Because they're just saying it out loud. It's like your way of like externalizing your, like processing it, you know? Yeah, inside it's like it's like a ping pong inside your brain, and then you're like, ooh, Instagram, ooh, food, ooh, I'm hungry, ooh, like, not too like that. You know, there's like all these different things happening, so you can't really focus on one. It'd be nice if you're like, this is what I'm focusing on, you know, without other things happening.
Yeah.
Externalizing it forces you to focus on it because you're like, that's how it happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then another, like, for the flip side, I think it was a Glennon Doyle episode. Or I guess it's We Can Do Hard Things is the name of her podcast. I think it was about communication. And so there was, like, for the person that's, like, on the other side, like, that want, or I guess it's the same side. The person who wants to like vent or talk or whatever. No, it's the opposite. Sorry. The other person can be like, do you want advice or do you want me to just listen? And I feel like that's kind of a good thing too. Cause a lot of times my boyfriend will like, his first thing is to try to like help or fix everything.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes that just makes you feel like feel worse if I'm telling him like how I'm feeling like depressed today, and it's like, why don't you do this, 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 and that? And I'm like, that's not why like I wanted to tell you. I just wanted to kind of get it out. Cause then it's like then you feel bad if you don't do those things because it's like and that's gonna help
it's
you.
It's like a call, its own call to action. Yeah. And well, sorry, I'm just adjusting. that's hard because and I tend to do that too. Like I know that, and I don't like it when people try to solve my problems.
Yeah. And I feel like
that it's I'm not too, looking for,
because
like I will do that to other people.
Yeah. I feel like deep down, it's like, you kind of already know what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, then it makes you feel worse if someone's like, kind of, it feels like to me in that moment, like being called out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I didn't really just wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
But
and if it was that easy, and that's, mm-hmm. 100%. That's what therapy is for, right? And if you don't have someone that you can feel like you can just talk to, or if you do want, sometimes it's beyond just the talking. You do want professional help. You want professional advice, or there is something else that can be done. Therapy is beautiful.
Yeah. And I know it can be expensive, but I think the online one, like the apps, like BetterHelp and stuff, they do offer like financial assistance or like discounts based on like your income and stuff. So that could be another way if you don't have insurance.
Yeah. And sometimes, and this is something I've been thinking about recently too. Sometimes it's that thing where it seems kind of backwards, but it is an investment in yourself. The quicker that you're able to feel better about yourself or what you're doing or your situation, it will then put you in the place to then maybe resolve or change jobs or whatever that stressor is. It'll get you there so that then you're able to do, you know, change your situation where you want to make more money, or you're able to, you know what I'm saying? So it ends up being like a positive aspect for yourself to then get where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that stress, say for like a job, for example, having that stress is probably what's also causing us to stay where we're at, because we're surviving instead of adapting. Like the different, like there's probably like a stress spectrum where like right now it's like, oh, maybe I feel more like I'm surviving every day. So I don't even have the mental capacity to start looking for change, you know? And then once you're able to get through, it's like, is it like, there's something like the four A's. Are you willing to accept? And if you're not willing to accept, then are you willing to adapt? If you're not willing to adapt, are you willing to change or alter, was the A. So, but I feel like therapy helps you get from one A to the next, depending on what kind of situation you're in.
And I feel like too, like a lot of times it can be, well, this is what, like, even if it's really stressful, it's a known stress, and like trying to change or like looking for something else that can seem like worse because it's scary to try new things or do new things or switch roles or whatever. And the fear of the unknown like outweighs your stress. I feel like that can be common.
That's a big thing. I read that before where sometimes we will stay in the stressful situation because it's we're aware of it. We know how to handle it because we're already doing it. But the problem is when it, even if we think we have a handle on it, our bodies will tell us when we don't. That's when you get physically sick or you start not, you know, you start removing yourself from things that you love to do, like seeing your friends or your hobbies or something like that. You're going, like when those things start to manifest into recognizable traits, I think is, I don't try to think of how to word that. That's when it's like, no, something has to happen. Something has to change. Because at that point, it's no longer, I don't know. Like, we don't have to deal with this stuff. I think that's another thing to remember is, like, just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah.
I need to remind myself of that one more often than I'd like to admit. Because I find that sometimes I'm like, like, if something is really bothering me, my ego turns it from, like, oh, like, this is unhealthy. Like, what, you can't handle it?
Like,
you need to step up and rise up to the occasion, girl.
Yep.
And it's like, but it hurts. Like, it hurts everything.
If I'm one thing, I'm stubborn.
Yes. I'm also stubborn, but I'm among the, yeah. I think you're more than stubborn. You're more than one thing, but I get what
I
you're
know,
saying.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I am also stubborn, and it sometimes often backfires.
Yep.
There is a difference between being dedicated and stubborn, for sure. Mm-hmm. Or like in like a healthy way.
Yeah.
Why? Physical activity helps a lot. Being mindful. There was actually this from verywellmind.com. There's a link about effective stressors. I said effective stressors instead of effective stress relievers. Wow.
I mean,
there are a lot of effective stressors in my life. Oh. Effective stress relievers for your life. They break it down with short term, long term, different things. So short in the short term, so something that's like really taking over in the moment, doing guided imagery, where you just close your eyes and take yourself through a peaceful walk, maybe in the forest for like a minute, maybe a couple minutes. Meditation. So doing like maybe the daily calm for 10 minutes or even for a couple minutes. You know, the Apple Watch has like the breathing for 1 minute. That actually really helps. Daily calm, I'm obsessed with it. 10 minutes of just guided breathing and helps you focus on what's happening in the now, essentially.
And I will say, if you have health insurance, you might want to look into it, because I, through my insurance, I have free subscription to Headspace.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on your breathing for a couple of minutes. Like, that was essentially like the Apple Watch with the 1 minute of breathing. This one I am going to become obsessed with because it actually works really, really well. And I think this is a good one for when you have general anxiety also. And it's called progressive muscle relaxation. Have you heard of it?
Maybe. Can you explain it? And then I'll tell you if I know.
So it's this thing where, and this is, I did it the other day while doing this research, actually, because I woke up. I don't know if it was like self-fulfilling because I knew I was going to be doing stress research. And so I was like stressed doing the stress research.
No,
not literally, not because of this, but it was like, I already went into it and I was like, this is good because I'm already feeling like, you know, generally ugh. And so let's read about this. And then I came across this and was like, this is different than what I've seen before. Like, usually it's like, go for a run, go for a walk, breathe, meditate. Yeah. Those are pretty common. This one is super interesting because they define it as it's when you, I'm just going to use my own words. It's something where you take, I don't even know how much time, it's probably realistically like 5 minutes, and you flex your muscles. It's a physical thing you do. You physically flex for 30 or was it 15 seconds? I think I have it right here. I did it. I followed along with the instructions. So you do 15 seconds of flexion, like flexing a part of your body. And then you so that it gets really, really tight. And then you relax it for 30 seconds.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the thing you do when you do the squeezy stress ball, except for on yourself throughout your body.
Yeah.
So they start with your forehead to your jaw, your neck and shoulders.
How do you do your forehead? Oh, okay.
Just like scrunch, I think. But like, don't do it so much. They don't want you to like hurt yourself.
Got it.
Just enough, just tension, increased tension.
Yeah. I've done that on the Calm app. They have one.
Yes.
And for sleep.
They work. Yes. They do that for the daily one too. So you neck and they break it down, neck and shoulders, arms and hands, buttocks,
yeah,
your legs, and then your feet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of those are broken down individually. So you start with your forehead 15 seconds and then relax for 30. And then you're working your way down to your whole body. By the end of it, I was doing it mid research. Like I literally felt better. This isn't going to sound dramatic, but I literally felt better than I did when I go get a massage. Because
and
it
that's
was
free,
like,
baby.
Yeah. And it's free. And you just, because it's your whole body. And you're just letting yourself, like you're forcing yourself to relax. It forces you to stay in the moment. You have to breathe through relaxation. So you're kind of doing like everything at once that they recommend. The meditation, you're staying in the moment, you're breathing through it, you're focusing. And then your body, it's almost like that other feedback loop, the other side of the feedback loop where instead of your mental affecting your physical, it's like you're letting your physical affect the mental. Because sometimes I'll feel the stress before I accept the stress.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I don't like that you accept
the
stress part,
yeah, like
but
what's...
the feeling afterwards of...
Yes. And so it's like sometimes I feel like I'm feeling the stress before I'm willing to accept it. And so if I force, like when I let my body actually relax, then I was able to like... kind of like settle in and feel like cozy and like comfortable with myself.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. And it was such a good feeling. And then my whole like morning was so much more positive. I was in a better mood. Things like, you know, sometimes a stressful environment can also be caused by yourself, which is such a weird thing to admit. I'm like, am I the problem? Am I the drama? Like that's literally how I felt yesterday morning. And then I put out like a better vibe for myself. And then my whole day was so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's like one of my biggest problems is like, I know these things and like what makes me feel better and I just don't do them.
Right.
But I think that's
where,
probably
like, therapy helps.
Yeah. I think that's part two of like my like natural response to like anxiety and stress is like depression, because it's like it's turning like all of it just off, like because depression like you don't care or feel anything, and I think that's my body's natural reaction to like the chronic stress and anxiety. So it's like it's hard to break that by like, because like that for me is I don't have to do anything, it just does it for me. So like having to like actively like do these things that I know will help me feel better.
And that's the part.
That's the struggle for me at this point. Is
right.
Like,
and that's where totally. And I 100% know exactly that feeling. I have like a little board next to my desk that has, I think I sent it. Did I send that to you or tell you about it? I'll have to send it to you. I have little phrases that have been helping me lately, and I'm not like a really, I don't really like quotes, but because I think like general quotes of like motivation, I don't like them because I don't feel inspired by them and I don't feel like they do anything for me. And so when I actually found a couple that really spoke to me, and it makes a big difference, like reminder, kind of like you're like, I forget or I choose not to. But when you look at them, it actually does, it can, maybe it not does, but everyone has a different thing, but can help. I'm looking at it right now. One of mine is numbing is not a solution.
Ooh, because that's my only solution right now.
I know. I know. And that's the thing. Like, I don't like it. Like, it's not mm-hmm. like, oh, like,
yeah, that's, a yeah, like, it's that's not, what's like, so frustrating. I don't like it. Mm-hmm.
But I know it's real. And so that's, yeah, numbing is not a solution. And then what's ironic is that when I lately, I've been trying to accept that and do something about it. So then when I stop numbing with TV or eating or what, you know, whatever it might be, I actually am feeling already a little bit better because I feel like I have a little more control of my situation. Another one that I got from someone I admire is action beats anxiety.
So
taking action in that thing, going back to our stress definition, right? Something that requires action or attention, taking that action that is required of you, even if it's small, will really, like, that's why we get, it's not that simple. It's more complex than that, but that's a good step, mm-hmm. right? So if something is requiring your attention or action, even if we don't want to do it, what can we do with that? Is that really something that does require attention or action? Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a perceived thing, right? And yep. it's not really real. Mm-hmm. Like, or we feel guilty, like we should do something, but do we really need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need to say yes to everybody you hang out with? No. So that's where it kind of comes back down to, like, identifying what's worth the stuff.
Yep.
What's worth our stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna have it anyways, so
yeah.
What's worth having those physical reactions to? Is that weird?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do that a lot at work, and like part of my like another issue is it's very hard for me to ask for help, and mm-hmm. so that will cause anxiety because then I put that on myself, like that I need to know everything for like a work project or something, mm-hmm. and then I'll have those moments where I'm like, why can't I just ask? And then like I'll send ego? Like a Slack or something, yeah. and then like the person will just answer it like no big deal. And I'm like, oh, yeah. See, I didn't have to know everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't get fired or like made fun of for
right.
asking a question.
Yeah. And that's like, God, like the ego is such a problem for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's like a big part. Like, my therapist was talking to me about it, and she was asking me like, well, what was like, you know, like the stereotypical, like, what was your childhood like? Cause she's like, a yeah. lot of those main things. And like, that's probably one of my big ones is like, don't yeah. ask for help. And it's like, you know, it's from your childhood. Mm-hmm. So I was the smart one, the perceived smart one. So if I ever asked a question or asked for help, then I wasn't the smart one.
You can't let them know that you mm-hmm. don't know have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same. Like, that resonates with me as well. Like, heaven forbid you ask questions.
I know, but it's so stupid because it's like no one's expecting you to know everything.
No. Yeah. It's so true. And yet you feel like you have to.
And then
I think this podcast is a great place for that. Sorry, just because we don't know. Like, the yeah. more we talk about it, we're like, we actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good ego buster.
Yeah, but it's like funny. It's not funny because like I'll mm-hmm. do that like at work, and then I'll ask the question like, see, and then I'll feel good and like not stress. But then yeah. something else will happen, and then it's like still the same. Like
it starts over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just, it's something that like you have to keep working at, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like doing one round of breath work or like, you know, it's yeah. not gonna, there's no fixing because like you said, the stress will always come in one way.
Always going to be there, but it's, yeah, it's what is worth it? What can you do about it? Is this really physically harming me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good question too.
Yeah.
Is this really, how is this, what's really going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth having physical manifestations over?
Yep. Yeah. And I think I mentioned it before, but one of the things that my therapist suggested that I do sometimes when I'm feeling stress about work is I'll write down like what I'm feeling stressed about and what I think, like in my stress state, like what I think is going to happen. Yeah. And then at the end of the workday, I like come back to that entry and then I write what actually happened. And so once you have like, you know, a week of like, oh, no one made fun of me, or like no one was condescending, or no one judged me for not knowing, or I didn't get fired. After seeing like a lot of those, it's like, oh, maybe all this anxiety and stress about work is not really, it's helping you recognize that it's not a like real thing. Cause that's a lot of times anxiety, it's not real. It's like you're
perceived.
Your brain is warping how you perceive things.
Mm-hmm. Like real threat versus a perceived threat.
Mm-hmm.
Which really a lot of that's there to protect our ego, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of comes back to that too. They're all, it's all like overlapping connections. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was another one that they were talking about on all of these have like the websites I was talking about have different aspects, like different solutions. And mm-hmm. I think it'd be actually helpful to have all these in our episode notes because they're mm-hmm. all different to some extent. You can't talk about every single one. Mm-hmm. Obviously your diet helps.
Yeah.
Exercise helps. Journaling about it helps. That was a big one, is like helping identify the stressors. And like you said, are those actually, I think that's even better to close that like loop on it, is what actually did happen. Like, did what you think was going to happen actually happen? A lot of the time, no.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest help, because like you were saying, like when you have everything in your mind, like not actually like coming back to it, or like you feel stuck in that loop of like, because you know, you're always at work, or at least in this example for me, it's work. So it's like work, but then you don't ever stop to think of like, oh, wait, what happened? What did happen with that like issue and that I perceived? And so it's kind of nice to have it written down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for me, just in general, like, journaling helps, because it really, for me, it really feels like I'm pulling all that like in my head out.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be really focused when I journal like that. So then it's like, mm-hmm. this is actually leaving my mind. Like it's coming out.
Yes. And it's very interesting too, because I do that as well. I've been doing that lately with like, just in general, like what stresses me out. And I'll just like list it, like line item. And then to go back and read it, I'm like, oh, I forgot I even wrote that.
Yeah. And I feel like too, it can take away the power.
It does.
That stress has on you.
Because you're able to recognize, because you're able to actually see it and decide, what can I do about that?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, just like I think Brene Brown talks about it, right now I'm reading Atlas of the Heart. And if we don't identify these emotions, that's also a really great book. It's like what she's doing is she like defines all these emotions and what impact they have on you, which is also tied to everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't identify it, you can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
You're still going to feel it. That's the shitty part, right? So you're always going to feel it, but you won't be able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
So that's like, identification is like real, and not really acceptance, but like just stopping to identify and acknowledge, I think, is really takes so much more power away from it. For sure. Like you're saying. Because you can't, just like anything else, it's like, it would be like, I have a really weird analogy, but it would be like, say you have a pet and you smell like there's like a poop somewhere in your house and you're like, oh, that smells so bad. But you just deal with it.
Yeah.
You never actually pick up the poop. It's kind of like that.
I like that analogy.
Because it's like, it's things. It's like, I just thought of it because it's really true. Like if you're like, you kind of just get used to it. You're like, oh, olfactory saturation kicks in. Like I can deal with this. I can handle it. No big deal. But then you open a window and it wafts like some like poop stench up your nostrils. And you're like, oh, like that again. Like, God, that really, really sucks. I'm going to have guests over. Like they're going to smell it. Like then you get anxiety about it. You're like, what's going to happen if they smell it? Like, are they going to think I'm dirty? It's fine. Like they won't, we'll just spray some perfume. Okay, that works for a little bit, but guess what? That piece of poop is still there, and it's going to come up again.
Yeah, and I feel like
get rid of it.
the acknowledgement or like the getting out of denial phase is like recognizing that there is a poop
Yes,
in your house. You may
that's
not
the
find it right away, but at least
Yes.
you know that it is a poop and you can do the things accordingly to go and find the poop.
Go and find it and get rid of it. Yes. And there might be more poop in the future.
I was just gonna say.
There is going to be poop in the future. And but then you'll know how to find it quicker. And you'll
You'll
know
have the
what to do about
tools.
it. You'll have the tools. It's so true. It is true, right? Like
I really like this.
And there probably will be other smells too. There might be pee. There might be throw up. You know, this is a really gross analogy, but it's true because scent is such a strong thing. And but you can't see it. The different kind of scents, right? But the same with like the physical aspects. You can't see your stress, but you can feel it.
And
It's
if
like
you
I
have so
can't
many
see the
other,
poop.
yeah, you have so many other things going on in your mind, you can't, it's not as easy to like pinpoint like
Yes.
what is going on if you
Right.
don't, take some time.
But it's always going to be there until you acknowledge it and then take steps to do something about it. Yeah. So if you're ever feeling the stress, smelling the poop, acknowledge there is poop to be picked
Life
up.
can be shitty sometimes,
Yes, literally. I mean, I like that.
Me too.
I think that's a pretty a pretty good like pause end point for this. I don't know. Like we said, there's a ton of, I mean, there are a ton of links, a ton of websites that talk about the reducing and mitigation and all that, but therapy is super helpful. Talking to a friend who, like we talked about earlier, is the right friend to talk to. Who then, you know, and then having more than one friend to talk to too, that
Yeah,
helps.
so that you're
Colleague,
not,
therapist, parent. So you're not just the one person, you know, you don't want to be codependent as much as possible. Yeah. Or journaling, you know, you're like you said, relying on yourself to just have your place to put it. Also keep that in a safe place because you don't really want people to go through it. Yeah. Dang.
That was good.
The mind is a wonderful thing. Oh yeah, and then the other side of that, giving yourself space to be creative and fun. Like the more that was something that I was reading recently too, is the more you're able to like, oh, what's the benefit of getting rid of all this stress, right? Not really talking about that. Like you're literally, you only have so much space in your mind. You're literally clearing the space for more good things to come in.
Yeah, I like that. That's probably a good thing to think about too. Like when you're first trying to like identify and like the beginning stages of like mitigating and managing your stress is like thinking of like the positives.
Yes. Think of all, I mean, I literally have the chills just thinking about it. It's like such a pot, like only good is going to come from this. Like finding that poop in the house is going to be really, really horrible. And if it's been there for a while, it's going to be like disgusting. But imagine how much better you're going to feel and want to have people over when it's gone. Like you're able to like, we'll get rid of the poop analogy for now, but literally in your brain, you can fill it with fun things and like look forward to things again. And like that is ultimately the reason, right? We want to feel better. You will give yourself space to go enjoy the things you love doing again. And then you'll maybe be in the space that you can be that friend too, to support other people. And then that's what they say too, is like the more that people recognize that you are in a space and being vulnerable, cue Brené Brown, vulnerability, shame. All her talks, the more it encourages other people to do that too. And then it's like, that's like ultimately a happy world, right? If everyone is able to, not everyone, like obviously we can't do that right now, but you can only start with you. And it takes a lot of bravery to do that. It's not easy.
It is not.
And we know from firsthand experience, like, scary and it sucks. Shitty. But it's worth it.
Yep.
It's so worth it. It feels good.
It
even
does.
Just talking about it.
Yeah, I was like, gonna say, even just this episode, yeah.
Like, this is part of it. Mm-hmm. And if something's, I think there, I forgot what it was on Kathy Heller's podcast. I forgot what speaker it was, but I remember her saying, if a quote or a what someone is saying resonates with you, it means it was like meant for you.
Mm.
Like you're meant to hear this, you know?
Yes.
So if you feel good, like good, please let us know if you don't have to, but if you want to, if you feel like, if you, I don't know, if anything comes out of this for yourself or feel inspired, like let us know. Cause it takes a lot for us to even talk about these things too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is our own form of therapy, like not easy.
No.
You know, so thank you for our audience to give us the space to talk about this.
Yes. And
thank you, Katie, for being always such an amazing friend and giving me the space.
Yeah. Thanks, and you as well.
Yeah. I'm like almost getting emotional right now. I'm like,
it's all good.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. So
yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, it's happening. All right, we have to end this so I'll someone start crying. My eyes are like literally watering.
Aww.
But yeah, have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
And we will, oh yeah, and share this with a friend who might benefit too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of like really great podcasts and great books and all those, and we'll have our episode links, but it's not easy and we're grateful and thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.